Ruchem Abayim to the ninth in the continuing series of Shiurim on the Machshava and the thought of Harav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kuk, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And last week, which was the eighth in the continuing series, in what is the what is termed the Pinkas Adapim Aleph from Yafo, and Hashanim Tofesh Samach Dalet to Tofesh Ayin Dalet in the Krach Beis Kavotzer Miksav Yakotchoi, which is I guess an added volume to what was put out a few years ago and called the Shmoneh Kavotzer. And here Rav Kook is speaking about the emergence of monotheism in Western civilization. And Rav Kook understands that monotheism is something which evolves in time, and part of the evolution of monotheism is to in fact actually to transcend, and the means by which it transcends is used to transcend what's called paganistic philosophies. In other words, according to Rav Kook, the paganistic philosophies constitute, in a certain sense, the steps through which on which monotheism walks and ascends in its upward ascension to an ultimate conception of the unity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Rav Kook understands, goes on and says that in fact, actually, it's the paganistic philosophies are mislavish, which is a Kabbalistic concept, in different devotion, through which is just a means of saying that the paganist philosophies in certain sort of feed into this ascension of monotheism, and in so doing allows monotheism to reach its highest apex. This is the Shita of Rav Kook, and I noted last time that Rav Kook's understanding of the emergence and development and evolutionary progression of monotheism, right, through the different steps and hurdles of paganism, is in very, very fact an expression of an important a fundamental idea in the Ramchal, specifically in the Das Tevunos, of what's called Gilui Yichudoi, that the revelation or the emergence of God's ultimate unity, which is more or less equivalent to Rav Kook's notion of monotheism, can come about only through the phenomenon of evil or of dichotomy and paradox, which when they're converted into different aspects of a higher unity, it's only through this process can HaKadosh Baruch Hu's true revelation of his, the capital H unity, Gilui Yichudoi, be revealed to the world. So in other words, Rav Kook here is basically applying the Ramchalian, the Ramchal understand Gilui Yichudoi here in relationship to monotheism and paganism. Now, Rav Kook, however, makes a little bit of a turn. Because up to now, when we speak about monotheism and paganism, we're basically speaking about different ontologies. In other words, paganism is a ontology which bestows divine powers to physical objects. Monotheism, of course, recognizes a transcendental creator, a transcendental deity. So we have, in other words, different conceptions of reality, different conceptions of creation, and different conceptions of the truth of the world. But goes on Rav Kook, and now makes a little bit of a turn. Okay? So Kook says that the different types of paganisms, right, in fact, actually, will be eventually revealed as Sidre Madregas. I'm now on Daf Nun Aleph in the Pinkas Hadapim, on the, I guess I'm on the sixth line from the top. The Sidre Madregas Halalo Yuchu Ayidei Stakus Behira. Right, and says Rav Kook that these different paganistic levels constitute hierarchies. We recognize, right, when in fact monotheism reveals itself in its true and clearest fashion. They'll be understood to be madrigas, not things that were, you know, in other words, Hegelistic philosophy will view this part of a whole, part of the process of ascension, right? Not things which are separate and not connected with an integral whole, right? Not excluded. In other words, Rav Kook says that eventually we're going to understand that the paganistic philosophies, these paganistic steps, right, which form the monotheistic, progressive monotheistic staircase, are going to be understood as things that actually played a role and that were interconnected, right? And therefore, paganistic philosophies are not said to be separate and isolated philosophies which have no connection with each other, right? But basically, they're going to be understood to be as lines which are interconnected, which form images and form geometric objects where the lines actually constitute the geometric whole. And through the lines, we create a greater dimensionality, right? I'm speaking with great freedom. Rav Kook is actually saying something which he senses, or he's writing something. He's not speaking, he's writing something which he senses is dangerous. Without any fear, to say that paganistic philosophies eventually will be seen as different levels and hierarchies and geometrical substructures as part of a geometrical whole. But Nesha Emes Huneda Agredo says, Rav Kook, I'm not afraid to say anything because the truth is the light, right? Upon by which we walk. For Migdal Oyz Shem Hashem Bo Yorod Tzadik Veniska. And of course, this is the Tower of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, now, this is exactly where Rav Kook wants us to get to. Because now Rav Kook is actually going to use what I would call a concept. See, Rav Kook actually, in a certain sense here, is speaking about the development and progression of monotheism, and the paganistic philosophies as having played a role in bringing monotheism to its final aperture. And at this point, to understand how paganistic philosophies can be incorporated as parts of an entire whole, Rav Kook now comes to actually, I mean, he doesn't quote, he doesn't use the name Arizal, but in fact, actually, Rav Kook is actually going to come to his understanding, his interpretation of the concept of what's called a Paltzuf. Now, this is not just Tribitz's reading into Rav Kook, because actually Rav Kook says the five-letter word itself. He says HaPaltzuf, Hargani. And I think maybe it might be good to understand this in terms of what you would call intellectual history. What is the background of the Paltzuf of the Ari? And in a certain sense, this introduction that we're going to give is going to be, Yusek friendly or Rav Kook friendly, the understanding how Rav Kook understood the concept of the Paltzuf and how he's going to use it here in this piece. Now, the notion of a Paltzuf is, of course, a novel revelation of the Ari. It's a Chiddush of the Ari. Even though there are terms in the Zohar, right, which in fact the Ari understood to be terms which refer to Paltzufim, nonetheless, the uses of the words Paltzuf, and certainly its elucidation, elaboration, find their origin first in the Kisvi Ari, in the Ari, and all the Kisvi Ari, the Eitz Chaim, and all the Shemoneh Sha'arim. Now, what is the novel change of paradigm of a Paltzuf? The Mekubalim before the Ari speak about Sfiras, but, and so a person would say, well, we have a transition, a change of paradigm from Sfira to Paltzuf. And of course, the Paltzuf is much more complicated. In other words, because a Paltzuf is composed of many Sfiras, every Paltzuf is composed of Sfiras. That's what most people know about Paltzuf. And the second thing, perhaps, what a person might take note of a Paltzuf is a Paltzuf Kipshuta Kenu, that a Paltzuf has a certain anthropomorphic, this has a certain, in fact, the Paltzuf expresses itself anthropomorphically. You know, the Paltzuf has legs, has feet, has a face, has nose, eyes, ears, hair, In other words, the mishalim that the Ari uses, I'm using the metaphor, the Ari uses, are not mishalim of the early Mekubalim, who spoke about light and vessels, right? And different illuminations. But rather, the Paltzuf is actually uses metaphors which refer to human bodily parts. And what is the significance of Paltzuf? Now, the fact is that if we look at the Kabbalah, let's see, even the Ramak, Moshe Kadavera, we could term the Kabbalah of Moshe Kadavera's Kabbalah to be what I would say chiefly ontological. In other words, it's what you would call in physics kinematics. It's an expression of a process. The process involves lights and involves vessels. So in other words, for example, the very beginning of the Ramak's Sefer Pardes, the discussion whether the spheres are in fact lights, or whether the vessels, or whether a convex combination thereof. In other words, one could understand that the Kabbalah of the Ramak and the previous Mekubalim was basically an ontology, trying to understand. It could be either texts to understand revelation in terms of a certain type of metaphysics. That's what you would understand of the Ramak. Ramak basically is metaphysics, which I understand is a spiritual but yet ontological understanding of the world. The Paltzuf, by using metaphors, anthropomorphic metaphors, already lends itself to what I would call an ethical interpretation. And that's what the Paltzuf is. The Paltzuf, in fact, actually has ethical implications, ethical tones, and by virtue of that, we have in the change of paradigm from the spheres of the Kubalim HaRishayim, certainly the Ramat, to the Ari, we have a change in paradigm from what I would call ontology to ethics. So in fact, actually what the Paltzuf is doing is the Paltzuf is actually taking ontological dimensions and placing it within a ethical unity. And ethical unity means they become parts of a phenomenon which has an ethical dimension. So, in other words, that's how I understand the emergence, right? That's what's in the emergence of the Kabbalah of the Ari as taking us from, in fact, the ontological to the ethical. And of course, I'm saying this, the Kitzon Nimratz, very, very shortly. This, I'd actually have to prove this to you, both in Yetz Chaim, and also if you look at the Ramchal, the Ramchal, etc., etc. But, for example, the Ramchal, when he speaks about the genesis of the notion of Paltzufim, right, the Ramchal speaks about spheres interacting with each other, speaking with each other. I think speaking is very, very much an ethical relationship. So, in other words, now, this introduction was actually, which I think is, which in my opinion expresses the thesis of Paltzuf in and of itself, but will be useful to understand Rav Kook, because basically that's what Rav Kook is going to say now. What Rav Kook is going to say, and we're going to read the next paragraph, is that the Paltzuf, as being the compilation of different ontologies, and of course, Rav Kook speaks about different ontologies as perhaps being quote-unquote paganistic ontologies, allows for the different ontologies to communicate with each other. And by communicating with each other, right, they therefore allow for what's called a moral ascension, right, of thought and of mankind. That's really what's going to be Rav Kook's thesis. So, for example, in the necessity for this actually was stated in the first paragraph we spoke about last week. Rav Kook noted that religious war and intolerance is actually the child of monotheism. Right? Paganistic religions get along with each other because one religion can be polytheistic and have several gods. Well, if you have several gods with a small g, you could get along with other gods, with other religions. In other words, paganistic religions have no problem getting along with each other. Monotheism, however, says Rav Kook, does not allow the existence of other gods other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as a result of that, sometimes a fallout of monotheism is because it will breed what's called religious intolerance. That's what Rav Kook said in the first paragraph. However, says Rav Kook, the union by ascension of these two ideas, the ethical and the ontological, paganism, of course, is false ontologically, but there's what you would call a dimension of ethics in paganism. In and of itself, the ethics of paganism ultimately leads to destruction. However, the ontologies of paganism can contribute with an organic whole towards a moral ascension of the world. Right? And with this, let's go on and read Rav Kook. Says Rav Kook, HaKavin, these lines, which basically, I guess, if we use geometry, the paganistic philosophies, which are dots, when they're incorporated in a two-dimensional geometric space, become lines, right? In two dimensions, a dot is one dimension, becomes a line, which is two dimensions. She'oisim is a pasuf ha'algani, that go on to create the organical pout. So pout, when Rob Cook uses organic, it means that the pout is something which is in constant motion, in constant evolution, progression. Because of that, these lines are, right, act in relationship to other lines. They're mashpia, they influence. And also, in fact, are influenced, or influenced by others. Kachoik or gadichai, just like the biological law of any organic creature. Goes in Rav Kook and says, "He didn't tzrich him listak b'chol b'leish shiur kaimis apaltsuf." We have to look at the b'leish shiur kaimis apaltsuf, at the entire the organical whole of the paltsuf on the toah kol ha'evarin, right? Right, the spectrum of all of the limbs, mitzad gashmusum v'ruchniusum, right, from the physical and spiritual aspect. Almost every limb has a certain physical and spiritual aspect. We have to look at the parts as they make up a whole. Kloima mitzad akultus hamaisi shalem, from their cultural relativity, because Rav Kook is speaking about paganistic religions, from their practical cultures, means their anthropology. And from the standpoint of the philosophies which are embedded within their views. In other words, basically, different paganistic religions have both anthropological aspects and, of course, intellectual aspects. Right? As, and therefore, says Rav Kook, combining the cultural and intellectual, Ayidei Shvita Pratis V'Koileles, by a specific and a general overviews, from understanding things right, from the standpoint of the details and from the standpoint of the overarching unities, we can distinguish between the value of specific limbs. So we can understand the different limbs are part of the general paltzov. So what we're basically saying is that the function of a paltzov is the means by which we can understand how the parts fit into the whole, right? Both culturally and intellectually. Im yovei echad levatel es kol chaya ruach hakavirim habufachim b'teich hatchuna amunis shebamali oyla. Says Rav Kook, if a person tries to destroy a specific social, intellectual genre, right? A certain type of faith in the world, neidah shelo yuchal. He can't do it. In other words, Rav Kook is saying this, we can't wage religious war on the spectrum of paganistic philosophies and cultures. It's impossible. Omnam, says Rav Kook, nonetheless, I think he really means here, on the contrary, bina brua, right? What one should do is, tzorach ha'inyan is bar karoy. What we have to do is we have to understand them and study them, right? Fittingly. Ech moititim es haskholas akuras harum shebaruach zeh, we have to understand the good parts and the bad parts. We have to understand in every specific type of culture and religion, says Rav Kook, we have to understand what is the highest point and what is the lowest point. Goes the Rav Kook and says, "Halilius atzbal yusul lavol abadeg roimah shalashkof akol izayis." Now says Rav Kook, what's the difference between a paganistic culture and between, right, Emunas Yisrael? Says Rav Kook, a paganistic culture can never come to the level, this holistic level. It can never come to it. Right? It's bound to self-destruct in and of itself. Because once it itself reaches this holistic level, already it's stripped of its paganism. Right? In other words, so what Kook is saying is that a paganistic culture in and of itself can never actually evolve into a religion of truth, because it in and of itself will ultimately self-destruct. Now, Kook is going to speak about this in a little while. Now, what's interesting is that this idea of Rav Kook is actually what is expressing in what the Ari refers to is what's called the Shviras HaKelim, the breaking of the vessels. According to Rav Kook, what the Ari explains about is the Shviras HaKelim. Namely, is that in the Ari, the transformation process between the ontologies of the Kabbalah of the Rishayim, the Kabbalah of the Ramak, and the Kabbalah, the revelation of the Ari, right, from Sfira to Parsuf, the process which produces this change in paradigm is in fact what the Ari refers to as the Shvira Sakelim. And the Shvira Sakelim basically expresses the fact that the different spheres, the different divine aspects cannot in fact exist in a kli into unto themselves. In other words, if they exist separately, then there's what's called a shattering of the vessel, right? The only way in which they are able to subsist and to have an ensured existence is through integrating into a higher organic unity, which of course is called the Paltzuf. So, in other words, really, what Rav Kook is saying over here is that idolatry in and of itself, right, is incapable of reaching or achieving any type of spiritual progression. It's bound to, in a certain sense, self-destruct, or at least it's bound to be stagnated spiritually, right? Only by integrating into a organic whole, into a Paltzuf, can idolatry be used as a means by which true ontological and ethical ascension and perfection be reached. That's what Rav Kook is saying. Right? And here, so we have in Rav Kook here a allusion to the Shviras HaKelim of the Ari. In fact, the Idras begin on Masai Neseh Bechat Samcha. In other words, how long are we going to stand on one stool, on one column? In other words, the Olam HaToyo is always designated as being on one column, right? The Olam HaTikun, the world of spiritual rectification, involves a dimensionality where, in fact, actually the columns interact and produce a higher dimensionality and therefore a higher unity. And that's as Rav Kook says, Ha'achtus Elokis kishi mi'ira apre kol mele oilamim, when the divine unity illuminates in all of the worlds, right? And therefore it illuminates all the different aspects of different faiths and different religions which existed heretofore. And therefore it rejuvenates all of these pieces which are scattered. This is the terminology and metaphors used by Rav Kook are precisely the terminologies, and even the Lashon, the Nusach HaLashon, is that which is used by the Ari. That the Tikkun comes l'hachyes es ha-mesim, to revive the dead. The Kelim HaShfum, the broken vessels, right, are in fact, says the Ari, are likened to dead bodies, and therefore the Tikkun, the ratification, comes to revive, to resurrect the dead bodies. Shebiyosim ufrodim shachvu mishkav arelim v'domu kivgorim. They were like bodies. In other words, when they were separate, they were Shofru mishkav harelem, they lay in the bed of harelem. V'damu kivgarem, they were like dead bodies, she'en behem ruach chayim, where there's no, in fact, actually sign of life. So therefore, Rav Kook is actually, in fact, here, using the nusach, the terminology of the Arizal, in understanding that the shviras hakelim, the tikkun, as expressed in the Patsuf, is in fact a description of the progression of monotheism from paganistic cultures, the civilizing of the world. Koyach hachayim kishamochel azorach bataras ubauza gamas kol hasigim, and this koyach hachayim, chayim always means a imminent spirituality, right? When it shines, it cleanses with strength as kol hasigim, and all of the shells, all of the, right, the varakvanos and those elements of life that have become now decayed, halulim lahamtzi ba'olam ames, and which are found in the world of dead bodies. Vasiraisi dama b'fi, then he quotes psukim and he quotes a gemara megillah that the bate teatres, the bate kakosos, the bechus la'aretz will become places where they will enter, etc., etc. So in other words, what is Rav Kook doing? Rav Kook basically is coming and understands that the teiras ha'ari, in particular, the change of paradigm, the progression from svira to paltzuf, right, through the mechanism of shviras hakele, is in fact the paradigm, the intellectual paradigm, the model, by which we can understand the progression of the world from idolatry, not only from idolatry to monotheism, but actually the moral progressing of the world. And this is very, very important. In other words, for Rav Kook, as we mentioned before, progress in the world, his also lombais, is very, very much what Rav Kook understood to be the truth of the Kabbalah, and specifically, the truth of the Kabbalah of the Ramchal. And we spoke about that in the previous Shiurim, that one of the important theses and fundamental ideas of Rav Kook is that through the Kabbalah we can understand how the world progresses, right? Both anthropologically, ethically, spiritually, scientifically. These are all aspects of what's called the ascension of the world. Now, it's very, very interesting. At this point, I want to really speak about this in depth next time. But as we mentioned in the first Shia, and as Rav Kook himself says, as David Cohen writes, right, in his introduction to Orot HaKodesh, and in fact, a lot of what Rav Kook says was very, very much based upon the Kabbalah of the Ramchal. And Ramchal is important in the Kabbalah of Rav Kook, because the Ariz Kabbalah basically deals with the Tikkun of Atzilus, the rectification of the spiritual worlds. Right? The Kabbalah of the Ramchal speaks about the Tikkun, the rectification of the physical worlds. Right? That's the Kabbalah of Ramchal. So these Alus Olamos, the Aliyah Salam, is the ascension of the world, is something that not only takes place in metaphysical dimensions, but also takes place within the physical world. And Rav Kook identifies this with, of course, cultural, ethical, scientific ascension. These are all part and parcel, the consequences of the Kabbalah of the Ramchal. It's interesting to note that someone a little while ago sent me a book by Steven Pinker, which is entitled The Better Angels of Our Nature. And Pinker speaks about it's a very interesting book. I don't recommend it for everybody. But in any case, Pinker speaks about what he calls the civilizing of mankind, which he feels has taken place through history. And it's very interesting, what I wanted to mention over here is that what caught my eye in this book is that he speaks about that the important he notes the important events of the civilizing of the world that have been taking place in the end of the 18th century through the American Declaration of Independence, the French Declaration of the Rights of Man. Right? Pinker speaks about that. It's very interesting. We've spoken about here that there's always a, as Rav Tzadik speaks about, and Siskas of Tzadik Sim and Tzadik, is that there's always a, and certainly Rav Kook adhered to this too, Rav Kook mentions this in Orot, that in fact actually there's a certain type of a intellectual commensurability, between Torah ideas and between ideas that they're found in the world. This doesn't mean that Torah thinkers, you know, Chas V'Shalom, are busy reading secular material, but rather we see somehow a confluence of certain types of ideas. It's interesting is that this concept of rights, of the rise of humanism, which means that man can progress or ought to progress in a civilized and ethical manner, is actually highlighted or is historically located at the end of the 18th century, which is the time that Ramchal lived. The Ramchal lived in the second half of the 18th century. So, that I believe so, or maybe a little bit before that, but there was around the same time. So in other words, the ideas of the Ramchal, of his Alus Halomais, which Rav Kook uses as understanding, you know, as understanding the ethical progression of the world, both monotheistically, that means, ontologically, and also ethically, that this notion of progression, right, actually is at least brought to intellectual expression around the same time, or a little bit after the time of the Ramchal. So we have a little bit of history, art imitating reality, then in fact actually, or reality imitating art, I should say, then in fact actually the genesis of those ideas are in fact actually located in a historically commensurable fashion. Okay, in any case, I think we're going to stop over here, because there's a little bit to think about, Baruch Hashem. And we will. When does Ramchal live?
He's born in 1707.
Okay, very, very good. So he lives. He's writing about 40, 50 years before that. That's even better. He anticipates it. He brings it about, right? So from an undisclosed place from Yerushalayim HaKodesh, until next week, be well.